What's up, guys? I'm Garrett Marchesano, and this is the MMA Rundown brought to you by FanDuel. We'll talk about one topic for about 3 to 5 minutes and then move on to the next one. Today, I'm joined by, as always, former Season 18 Ultimate Fighter champ, Chris Holds It Down Holdsworth.
What's up?
Let's go. All right, first topic, we'll recap UFC Fight Night. So this was Cyril Gane and Volkov in the main event. Really good fight. You know, a lot of people thought Volkov might bring the power and be able to stop Cyril Gane in this fight. Was not the case. He ended up getting the decision win. So first, Chris, after watching the fight, I know you're pulling for Volkov in this one. What was your impression as soon as the fight ended? What was your thoughts going through your mind?
It's pretty much a stand-up fight. Yeah. You know, a lot of striking back and forth. Wasn't too many takedown attempts. Wasn't any grappling at all, I don't think, I can remember. But yeah, Gane just looked like he was beating Volkov to the punch, and he was landing the better of the combos and, you know, the crisper shots. You know, Volkov landed a couple shots, maybe a couple leg kicks, but you know, Gane was really effective from southpaw, and he did a good job, like, switching back and forth and confusing Volkov, but the majority of the fight was him in southpaw landing, you know, some good left straights and then some hook combos off of those left straights. So, you know, I was impressed by Gane. He impressed me that fight. It looks like Volkov got a new back tattoo. That back tattoo.
Yeah, did you see giant,
that? Yeah, it was huge. Tattoo. I didn't see that before. So, yeah, good job for Gane.
Yeah, Gane did a great job. I agree with you. He was almost switching stances when he's standing in front of him, like, constantly. Back, forth, back, forth. So Volkov can never get that timing and get set. And then what the announcers are saying, and it's very true, he just has this different type of speed for a heavyweight.
You know,
his hands are way faster.
Man. Yeah.
He can shoot
he's
off three strikes.
Yeah.
And he was tough to deal with. He was light on his feet, so he's always backing up, coming in, backing up. His feints were good. I kept on wanting Volkov to release that right hand, and his corner was begging for it. Throw the right. Yeah. But he just couldn't time it. So we'll see with Gane. We know we'll get back to what's next for him. But real quick, talking about some other fights. Bozer gets a TKO over OSP. This was our dog of the week. We thought OSP might be able to pull it out. He was horrible performance in his previous fight. So I thought this is where he's going to come back.
Yeah, me too.
So did you. And really bring some power. What did you think of kind of this weird ending to the fight? But he was getting pieced up.
Yeah. He got pieced up the whole fight. OSP didn't look like he was really in there. He just looked real hesitant and wasn't really throwing much. And Bosner was going hard. He came out hard, was moving a lot. I think he took this, you know, last fight on his contract pretty seriously. And he was like, oh, I got to go impress and do something.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a pretty legit finish. Like, we would have to run back, and I didn't think there was anything foul involved, so I don't know the controversy and, you know, all that about the fence grab, but you know, I thought Bosner looked good.
Yeah, he looked really good. He looked good. He was fighting for a contract, like you said. He knew it. Dana White knew it.
Yeah.
These moments happen when these fighters are going on the skid and they're fighting to keep that contract. Now, after that performance, he's probably gonna get a new contract from the UFC, or maybe have some options. He should, for sure. And it was weird. OSP, you know, these guys are in there fighting. You know, I'm a critic out here saying he said that he thought the fight was being stood up, or he thought the ref was breaking it up, and he felt his hand on his back. And that's when Bozer got off the cage, maybe grabbed the cage, maybe not. It's a weird camera angle to see if he even got his fingers in. And that's when the finishing combination happened. So he did say he's going to that they are going to fight it, protest it, and request a no contest. We'll see if that goes through or not. I don't think it will, but it's kind of interesting. We're seeing more and more no contest as time goes on. Brings up our main guy, Andre Touchy Feely.
Yes, sir.
He's having a great fight.
Yeah, he was, man.
Looking great on the feet, striking, doing a great job. But then probably one of the more common no contests are those eye pokes, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think about Feely's performance leading up to the eye poke? Because, man, his combos were coming together.
Yeah, he almost had Pineda finished like a couple times. He wobbled him with a head kick. He wobbled him with a hook cross. It's actually like a jab hook cross. Rocked him with that, rocked him with a head kick, rocked him with a liver shot, came down, you know, throwing good ground and pound. And it sucks to see, you know, fights get finished with the eye poke. You know, Feely works so hard, you know, guys work so hard, and for fights to end that way, you know, I'm sure Pineda didn't want the fight to end that way.
Yeah, he was begging to keep fighting.
Yeah, he's a dog. He wants to keep fighting. So it sucks to see things, you know, especially you don't get to win both checks. Like, you just get your show money when that happens. So hopefully he got compensated for at least his performance, for at least going out there and trying to finish and putting on a good performance. But I think he's back in the gym today. I saw him today. Oh, so I know he's gonna look for a quick turnaround and probably try to get something in, get back in there.
He should, man. He looks so good. He should be begging to jump back in as soon as possible. And, for him, how does he feel? He was like, I can explain it. I feel gutted. He's like, I feel like I left my win money on the table. That probably would have been like a performance of the night, the way he was piecing them up, putting those combos together. So tough feeling from him now, but he should keep his head up. He looked great. He was going to win that fight.
He knows the deal. He would have been a lot worse if he was the one that got eye poked and he couldn't continue. But in deep down, he knows he was winning that fight, and at least he put on a good performance. So and it was his birthday. So
it's his birthday. He was super respectful to at the end of the fight. He was saying things like, "I worked so hard for this. Don't want this end. You can't blame the guy." But he showed class, and he walked away, and he'll be back very soon. So let's jump on to the next topic here. Wait, before we do, we got to note that today the announcement was made that Dana is going to pair up Ciryl Gane versus Derek Lewis for the interim heavyweight UFC championship. Yeah. Now, this is interesting because we know we got Stipe begging for that rematch with Ngannou. He wants a shot at the belt. We know John Jones is looking heavier and heavier, and he wants a shot at the belt. And now we have this interim going on when they were already trying to make Ngannou versus Derek Lewis. But to me, this shows that they're having some negotiation problems and Ngannou's not taking the fight. So they said, all right, we'll pair Lewis up with Gane, who just did a great performance. What do you think this move, what do you think about this move by the UFC brass to kind of switch it up a little bit, make it an interim matchup?
The wheel has to keep turning. Yeah. They can't stop for nobody. They can't stop because somebody wants more money and put the division on hold. It sucks to see this whole interim thing involved. I can see if somebody was injured, but now, just because he wants to get paid more, you're gonna probably leverage this interim bout and show oh man, well, if you don't want to fight, we'll throw an interim. That to me, if I was champ, that would be a slap in the face.
Yeah.
You're gonna have these guys fight for an interim bout?
I'm ready to go. He's saying I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that would have been a slap in the face if I was a champ. So I think Dana and the UFC like to play hardball when it comes to, fighters pay and having the leverage. So I hope Ngannou is making the right decision. And I think Lewis and Gane is going to be entertaining. I think Lewis is going to go out there and do what he does and try to KO Gane. I think Gane is going to, probably fight similar to what he did last time, conservative and look for his shots and, piece you apart. So
yeah, it'll be an exciting fight. It's all a negotiation tactic with these bookings with the UFC. So I know Ngannou's not staying quiet. He's already very vocal today, taking interviews, putting his stuff out on Twitter. So we'll see how this unfolds. Maybe they decide to match him up. I don't think there's ever been an interim bout booked and a championship bout booked at the same time. That would be really weird, crazy. But we'll see what happens. Who knows in this day and age. But let's jump on to the next topic. So we got OSP's appealing the TKO loss. So this was a big topic after the fight. A lot of people were talking about it. He was getting pieced up. We did talk about this bout, 25-8 on significant strikes. Okay, so he's he's over 3x in the output, and some of these were heavy shots. And it seemed to me OSP was always backing up in the fight. Every time he took a shot, it's like he was bouncing them off the cage. Yeah, and bounce off, and he's just standing there. Didn't look like he wanted to be first. Didn't look like he wanted to throw a strike. It was frustrating because I was pulling for OSP. We had him as the dog of the week. We thought this was his time to get out of it. And so it didn't go his way. Before we talk about the kind of controversial ending to it, before that even happened, what do you think about how he was getting pieced up on the feet and just kind of taking the shots? I was begging for him to fight back almost.
Yeah. Like we talked about before, he was looking pretty hesitant out there. It wasn't firing back and he was moving backwards. Looked like he was trying to counter or at least wait for the counter. But, going up a weight class and fighting Bosner, a guy who's cornered, it feels like he's backed into a corner somewhere and he's fighting for his contract. You can't fight conservative like that. You got to go out there and, try to finish this guy or do something a little bit more imposing than just wait for, a bigger guy to come and attack you. So I rewatched the highlight and I didn't see the fence grab. It probably was there. Maybe it was a fence grab, a quick one. And, you know, and it's hard. It's hard sometimes. It's like I would be pissed if someone fence grabbed when I was trying to take him down, especially if I was hurt and that could have changed the tide of the fight, because it can. So like I would be upset too, and but I don't know, like appealing a TKO loss over it, like, bro, you're getting pieced up, and what could have been different? Like, so he would have got taken down, and then so he's saying when they got moved back up is when he got finished.
That's when he got finished, right after that. It was literally like 5 seconds after.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's
there's two kind of controversies. The corner was yelling, let him keep his position, let him keep his position. Like, he had him down and holding his hips, and they were thinking the only reason he got up is because he grabbed that fence. Oh. They were saying the ref should have stopped it, brought him back to the ground to hold that position. I've seen that done before, right? And OSP came out and he said, I'll direct quote here, I felt the ref put his hand on my back, which is only done to pause the action or call a finish. I paused slightly, and that's when the tide turned. That's when he took that combo, right, when he stood up. So, you know, they are going to protest it. They're submitting the protest and trying to get it overturned to a no contest. I don't think it's going to happen. It was kind of weird how all these three things happened within, like, this 20 seconds. Yeah. His takedown, him getting up, him thinking it was a pause, and then he got TKO'd right there, right? So, really weird. He was getting beat in that fight. I feel for OSP. I see what he was saying. Looking at those replays, it looks like I was telling you, Chris, it looks like when you watch it, he's getting up at the same time his hands against the fence, so it looks like a grab. But when you re-look at it, it looks like he misses the fence and his knuckles, like, skim it. It doesn't look like he really hits it.
Yeah.
But regardless, even if he touched barely grabbed it, still counts. So it's a little shady either way. Hopefully we see less of these no contests and some cleaner fights. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next topic. This got a lot of buzz. Justin Jaynes bet on himself at a plus 140 to win the fight. So he said he bet his entire purse, which was $25,000. So
why not bet $5,000, bro? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why your whole purse? Like,
he tried to go big. He tried to show it as
free.
Yeah,
he fought for free. Bro.
He fought for free, and probably lost money by paying his corner travel.
Sure. Yeah, gym fees.
Yeah. So, tough one for him. I agree. He probably should have done a percentage, but we all know the other side of this would have been, I won, and I won an extra $37,000 by betting on myself. Plus 140, I mean, that's going to be a good return.
So people are doing stupid shit now to go viral?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on? Like, he wanted to go viral, so he's doing, like, stupid shit. Risk management, man. Come on. It's the first thing they teach you in, you know, trading, investing. Like, that's not a smart investment, bro. Like, losing $25,000 over that. So
all the work you put in.
Hopefully, hopefully you learn and maybe just bet $5,000 or $1,000. And I don't know.
Yeah. Hate to see the guy lose his whole purse after.
Yeah, me too, man. So like, fuck. That sucks.
And it ended up being a split decision. He was getting beat first round pretty bad. Started getting beat in the second, but he has some power, man. I'll look out for him when he fights again, because he was throwing big left hands, big right hands, connecting. One of the judges even gave it to him on the scorecards, but ended up being a split decision loss. So when he heard that, it had to be rough. You know, his direct quote from him as well was, I said it before the fight, I'll say it again, I was prepared for all outcomes. If anyone thinks me losing this bet is going to break me, they are sadly mistaken. So, of course, he gave it in going to the fight, the thought of, if I lose, I lose my purse. Of course, he's probably coming in ultra confident, didn't want to go down that route.
I think Walmart might be hiring security. That was a quote too.
That was a quote from him. So might have to apply soon to get that $25,000 back. So we'll see what happens. So to all the other fighters out there, don't bet your purse. Is that even legal to
find
bet?
Rich friends that will bet for you. Be like, hey, I'm feeling good about this. Put 10 G's down, man. But it's your money, not mine.
But if you win, then
if they're rich, like, give them something to brag about. But if not, don't bet your own money.
Yeah, so your advice to Justin Jaynes for his next fight is maybe put a small percentage if you want to be the betting guy.
Yes, man.
Don't put your whole purse.
You're a fighter. You need that money. I know. I don't know what kind of other incomes you have coming in, but, like, most fighters don't have too many. They just have their fight income or a couple sponsors here and there. So be smart with your money, man.
We'll see. He's getting a lot of press. Maybe a sports book reaches out to him and does a plug or something.
Yeah, we'll see.
And I bet plenty of sports book want that $25,000. I bet with them over anyone else. I think they said it was MGM where he bet. So come over to FanDuel and place that $25,000 bet next time.
Let's go.
All right. Next topic. Let's jump to it. We got Hector Lombard. So this is bare knuckle fighting. He swings on Lorenzo Hunt. So to break it down, he had his fight with Joe Riggs. He won the fight. I guess it was a slightly controversial fight. But in the post fight, inside the ring, his next competitor, who's going to be Lorenzo Hunt, walks up to him. You can't hear what he says, but it's not anything nice. Yeah. He's getting in his face. He's probably saying, "I got you next," or whatever it's going to be, cussing at him. And Hector Lombard just went through a brutal bare-knuckle fight. He's sweaty. He just was in full combat mode, full protecting myself from getting knocked out mode. And a guy gets in his face like this, and what does he do? He rips off a left hook, right hook, and the right hook landed flush, the second shot. So this was interesting. So Chris, for you, for this one in particular, then we'll talk in general. What'd you think about this? I know we watched the video a few times. What'd you think about Hector kind of just protecting himself? Should he just talk the little shit back? Do you think it was justified? What are your thoughts?
One thing I do know is I think Hector Lombard is a little cray cray. I know a couple of people who know him, and I've heard that he's really aggressive when it comes to training, competition. He broke off this guy I know's ankle. My buddy did like an absolute division. He was a smaller guy, and I think Hector Lombard was like his first match, and oof. Hector just ripped, like literally broke his leg in half.
It
reminds me of like Taquinho, but I've never met the guy. I'm sure he's nice, but you step up to anybody like that that just got into a fight, they got the adrenaline pumping. He got a two-piece in a biscuit.
he knew it was coming. Let's play the video real quick, just so for everyone viewing. It's a quick video, so we'll be able to play it real quick. And me and Chris can get another look at it. Here he walks up and says, "I got you next." Well, boom, boom.
Boom. Man, there was no hesitation. Like, he thought about that for a second.
Those are quick, too. I got to give it to Hector.
Dude, the guy didn't even say nothing. He, as soon as he opened his mouth, he got took off on. Watch, like, as soon as...
Boom, oh, boom. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Damn, they must be in a feud already prior then.
And Hector Lana doesn't... Lorenzo didn't want anything
he
to do.
He just covered
it
up and backed
up. He said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." No, he waved him off like, "Bro, no."
Yeah.
I'm not trying to ruin my good shirt.
I know. He's got that good one. You guys don't want to get sweat in my shirt. But this is a great promo for their next fight. When they fight next, they'll play this 1,000 times over and over. He's going to get fired up. And this guy looks like a big guy too, Lorenzo Hunt.
He looks huge.
So that could be a good bout. We'll look out for that bare knuckle fighting. Hector Lombard versus Lorenzo Hunt. We'll see what happens next. All right, let's move on to the next topic. We got, this was kind of interesting. Fedor Emelianenko is decided to come back and take another fight. Now, he's retired about 3 times. He loves the sport. It's hard for him to stay retired. He's coming back, and he has a few stipulations. He wants to be October 23rd in Russia. He's still signed with Bellator, so he's going to take it as a Bellator fight. Of course, Bellator is going to, I'm not sure if they've ever done anything in Russia, but they're going to accommodate Fedor with whatever he wants to do because he's their best moneymaker coming out of Bellator. And, he's older now, but he's going to take the fight. So what do you think about, what crosses your mind when you first hear Fedor Emelianenko is coming back?
I've always been a huge Fedor Emelianenko fan. Ever since the Pride days, I had almost every Pride DVD, like, mm-hmm. back from, like, early 2000s on. I was, like, really addicted to going to Fry's, like, Fry's Electronics, and, like, finding, like, limited edition events, you know, at the Super Saigon Arena and, like, God all that. Sake. So I used to love watching Fedor fight, and I was a really big fan of his, just how he mixed up the full mixed martial arts game, his grappling. Like, he was beating, like, a lot of the jiu-jitsu guys with grappling, like, out-grappling them, like, getting out of submissions, like, out-grappling. So it's cool to see him coming back. It's hard when guys like that are so good and they can make so much money to just sit out on the sidelines, especially when they're not really injured. He's probably got a lot of offers. He's probably training all the time. He's in good shape. So he probably, you know, he's got that fire and he wants to fight. So I don't know what would be a smart fight with him for him coming back. I don't think he should fight an up-and-coming buck who's 10 years younger than him. I think he should fight a veteran that's fought for them before and kind of make it an older guy matchup.
Yeah. Where's Overeem at? Did he come over to Bellator? That would be a great matchup. Junior DeSantos, That would be a good one. Matt Mitrione is the other one that actually beat him previously.
Didn't Matt beat him?
Yeah.
Matt beat him.
So it's tough, you know. So Fedor, a guy who previously, you know, one of his big stats is he won 28 heavyweight fights in a row, which is unheard of because heavyweight bouts are some of the most unpredictable, and you always have that puncher's chance when these guys are 265 pounds. He's a lifetime GOAT. He's a top five greatest mixed martial artist of all time. For me, you know, I watched a lot of his stuff back in the day, too. You know, I wasn't familiar with a lot of the guys, but I knew Fedor, and I love watching some of his old highlights, even to today. I did a highlight video just on Fedor about him and his life previously in my life, and edited that together, so I got to learn a lot about him. One thing I hate, though, is that I hate to see these guys lose. You know, I hate to see them come back. And so what you said, I think, is perfect. Let's not come back. And even though he may want it, and I don't know if he's looking to try to make a run for the belt or he's just this is a one-off fight, but I don't want to see him against a young buck who is a heavyweight that wants a Fedor knockout.
That
on
young
his
Russian, I forgot his name.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. That guy's a
he beat
monster.
Vader. Yeah.
He, sorry to say that guy, I think would take.
I think he
Fedor's
trains
head
with Fedor though, so they wouldn't fight.
Yeah,
I think he's from like the same team.
Give another guy that's up there in their 40s, the Junior Dos Santos type of guy who could who has a good name and could the fight would sell and people want to see him and make it an even matchup. Let's not see some crazy odds. Let's see an even matchup and get Fedor back in the ring. He did get John Jones reached out to him. I watched the call. He just said, "Hey, congrats
Let's
on your
make
comeback.
It happen. Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a good fight." I don't think he's trying to call him out for.
Oh
fight
no, he's just saying, "Oh,
just like congrats on your comeback. Cool. Look forward to seeing you fight like that." It was real short, and so that was cool by John Jones. But he has two fights left in Bellator, so he says, "I got a lot of names in my head, but it's up to Bellator." Sounds like he wants to come back for a few fights then.
Hmm.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Play it smart, Fedor.
Play it smart, man. Don't take the young buck. All right, let's move on to the next topic. We've got Michael the Count Bisping got assaulted in public just this past week. This past weekend.
That's why I don't go out to bars.
Yeah. So
I have to fuck somebody up.
This is interesting, and this reminds me of the story that you told, Chris. You just said it's hard to go out to bars because you feel like anyone who bumps your shoulders or looks at you is like giving you that like.
Yeah,
you feel like you're going to be in a fight. You
know, seriously.
A lot of the times. So, and for people like you and Michael who have this combat experience, not just year, 2 years, decades of experience, you know, you guys are lethal out there in public and could take anyone out. You could choke anyone out, knock anyone out in that general public bar. Same with Michael Bisping. So how do you feel about Michael Bisping being out with his family, recording on his phone, and while he's recording, some guy runs up, punches him, and tells him you shouldn't be recording on Bourbon Street. And now Michael Bisping's response was that he punched so weak that he just laughed it off and continued walking on with his family. But the old Michael Bisping, you know, probably would have knocked that guy out. How do you feel about his restraint to take a punch in the face and then kind of hold off and say, you know, I'm sure he yelled something at him, but
it would be really hard for me to hold back if someone punched me in the face.
Yeah.
I just have like an automatic like go it's red
on. Yeah.
Like especially if we're in the street like that, but maybe Bisping, you know, he's got his family around, he doesn't know what's going on, he didn't, you know, want anything crazy to happen, or he knows that maybe there's a huge possibility of a lawsuit, you know, like
he could be thinking that too. It would have changed up the whole night if, you know, and that's big news. Bisping.
That's what I'm worried about. If I got into like a street conversation and someone finds out like I'm a martial arts instructor and I fought before, like they would probably want to come after me. If it was just like a douchebag and he just was trying to start shit, but he just got messed up because he started shit with the wrong person, right? But you know, he's wants to go after me now. He wants to sue me.
Yeah.
So like, where do you draw the line?
He wanted no drama. So let's hear his official release on Twitter was just assaulted. Guy got in my face for filming on a public street. I told him go away and he punched me. It was literally so soft. I laughed at him. So funny that someone like that acts so tough and hits such a bitch. I laughed and walked away. Man, I'm mature these days. So you got to know. Damn. You had to know something was up when he punched him and Mike punched him in the face and Michael Bisping laughs and says, "Hey, you hit like a bitch," and walks off. That guy had to know. And He took a video of the guy, if you know this guy in New Orleans, telling me hits like a bitch.
Is he a white dude or a black dude?
I don't know which guy that is in that photo. Maybe it's that guy right there.
Looks black.
Yeah. So interesting. You know, kudos to Bisping for not taking that guy out, knocking him out. I'm sure he's going to have fun with this over the next week. And could have gone a much different way. So what do you think about, for our last point on this topic, what do you think about MMA fighters in general, in public? You know, it's so easy for them to get triggered.
Guys got to be careful, you know, like people want that wow factor. You know, they want to say they hit a MMA fighter, or they, you know, messed up an MMA fighter, or especially if they recognize you, or like they feel jealous, or someone else recognizes you, they're like, who's that? Oh, well, let me watch. I'm gonna go sock him real quick.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Like, I used to know people like that. They just like, you know, they hear something like, oh, well, let me go punk. You know, let me go do something real quick and show you who's boss. So I can see that happening for sure. Especially nowadays, everyone wants to, you know, they're clout chasing and they want to, you know, go viral and stuff. So, you know, good job for Bisping. You know, man, I probably would have been swinging back unless like that looks like a crowded street and this guy looks like he's got homies around. So. Man, yeah, who knows, right? So,
yeah, maybe he was thinking I could have got jumped.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
But Bisping probably could have taken out him and three of his buddies, too.
No, for sure. So, one shot. Bing, bing. Two-piece in a soda.
Bing, bing, bing. So good on Bisping. We'll see as that story unfolds. It's pretty hilarious. So let's move on to the next topic. We've got Luis Pena is out on bond. So this is a current UFC fighter. A great fighter, fun to watch.
Dude,
I like
watching just fought him.
Yeah, Munoz just fought him. Was a great, great fight. He ended up getting released on bond. He took the $8,000 bond, which is crazy. Didn't want to stay in jail, and he's charged with three crimes right now: robbery, battery, and criminal mischief. So this is to give the overview of the story. This is him and his girlfriend. We're in a public place. I guess, and there's more information being released every day, and this was recent information that she was on her phone, and she was either looking at a guy there in public or a guy on her phone, and Luis Pena didn't like it, so he grabbed her phone, smashed her phone, and ended up assaulting her, punching her in the face. And so enough to where she's bruised up in the face, her phone is completely smashed, and I guess he FaceTimed her somehow later. Maybe she doesn't have her phone, right? But, he said he ended up FaceTiming her with a gun in his hand and threatening to commit suicide. So she ended up calling the police. And as soon as Pena knew that all this shit was going to go down, he was going to jail, he released a tweet saying, hey, guys, I have serious mental health problems. So he's not trying to fight it, and he's admitting to it. It's easy to admit to guilt once you're backed into a corner and got the cops coming. But what do you think? I know this is probably surprising for you, Chris. What do you think about this as a whole for Luis Pena?
People need to understand that mental health, especially mental health issues, is a real thing. And a lot of people struggle with mental health issues. They struggle with depression, bipolar, schizophrenia. Like a lot of these people, you know, they've been through some trauma, and you know, I'm not saying Luis Pena hasn't, but he might have been through some trauma in his childhood, and you know, he's dealing with some stuff now, and that's usually the case. People have traumatic childhood, something happened, and then you know, you add, you know, brain trauma on top of that from, you know, fighting and training and sparring with some of the best fighters in the world. You know, and who knows what he's doing outside of that. You know, if he's doing drugs outside of that, that could add into it as well. So, it sucks to see that. You never want to get, you know, involved with hitting a woman, especially domestic violence, snatching, battery. Yeah, that sounds all bad. And it scares me to death, like getting locked up and, you know, having to do something like that. Oh, so, it sounds like he needs some help. Maybe he needs some professional help. And you know, if he's trying to commit suicide over FaceTime, he definitely needs some, you know, some help. And, you know, I wish him the best, and I hope he finds the help he needs.
Yeah, I think the way this will end up, and one thing they released based on Florida rules, if his girlfriend did press charges on those three offenses, it's 5 years in prison for Florida, because that ends up being a third-degree felony. Now, I don't think she's going to press charges. I think the UFC is going to help him get his help. I think it was already noted in the article that they are going to help him find a mental health help.
Yeah.
So that's really cool by the UFC, and that he's already on that. Of course, he will be released from the UFC. He will be on his own now. And
wow, seriously? Yeah, probably.
I'm just saying that, so don't quote me on that. But I assume that with this, they're going to wait till all these allegations go
through. I'm sure they'll let him go.
It's going to take like 30 days. You know, he's still innocent.
Especially with domestic violence. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I think his UFC future is probably cut short here. And just hope he, you know, gets his mental state back in, back sure. in order. All right. Let's move on to the last topic. So this one, since we don't have a fight pick show this week, we have it next week. We're just going to do a quick preview of the upcoming UFC 264 card because it is so stacked. Now, we are going to review four fights on this card for next week's fight picks with the pros. But we're kind of, there were so many other good fights that I thought we'd just do a rundown of kind of the eight fights, the prelims, and including the main card. So first one, we got Sean Bradley versus Kevin Lee. So this is the third fight on the prelims. So that shows you how stacked this UFC 264 card is. So for you, Chris, what do you think about Kevin Lee's coming back? You know, he wants to start fighting regularly again. And what do you know about Sean Bradley? Brady? It's not L-Y?
Yeah, man, you got to blow up that picture. I'm not sure if I know too much about Brady. Kevin Lee, I know what's different about him is he's been training at TriStar now for a bit. He switched places. I think he was in Vegas for a while and you know, now he's at TriStar to train with Firas Sahabi. And was his last fight the head kick versus Gillespie? And then he's been out since then.
Yeah, or, I think so.
Yeah, so maybe I don't know why he's been out, if it's been injury or whatnot. But you know, Kevin Lee is always entertaining to watch. His wrestling, his explosiveness, everything is top notch. And now that he's out there, he moved up too. So now he's moved up in weight. He doesn't have to cut, and he's training with Firas. I think each fight he's going to be more dangerous and more dangerous. So, you know, I'm pulling for Kevin Lee on this one. I think he's got the experience on Brady, and you know, now that he's training with a great squad and get some different training, I got Kevin Lee.
Yeah, I like Kevin Lee in this fight too. Sean Brady, God, I don't know why I kept saying Bradley. You know, he's ranked number 14th in the welterweight division. Kevin Lee at number 11. And I know Kevin Lee's hungry. He's training.
Yeah.
He got injured and had to miss a fight, and now he's getting back in there. He had some crazy dyed hair and got some new tattoos. I was a little worried about he was going off the deep end on the swag and it was going to, like, stuff. He's cleaned it up a little bit since. He's getting serious. Yeah, yeah, Kevin Lee. I was like, what are you doing, man? But looks like he's back at it doing his thing. So I like Kevin Lee in that fight, too. So I'm excited to see that one. So let's jump on the next one. We got Nico Price versus Michael Pereira Lima. So Michael Lima is always fun to watch. He's the guy that does the backflip off the cage, wild spinning back kicks when you don't think it's appropriate. And he does the craziest thing, I think, is whenever he has a guy grounded, he gets up and then he jumps on top of you.
Yeah.
Flips on you or just jump, and it's like wild. And Nico Price has a highlight reel KO from a guy jumping on him and knocked the guy out. So I don't think he wants to do that against Nico Price. So this is a fun one because Nico Price is entertaining, throws wild shit. Michael Lima is entertaining with those wild stuff. So I see why the matchmakers put these two guys together. What pops out of you on this one, Chris?
Nico Price is dangerous, and he's had a lot of fights. But I've always bet against Lima, and I've changed my mind every time. I'm like, I got to stop betting against this guy. So I'm going with Lima on this one. I think his unorthodox, you know, style is going to be it's going to be a hard puzzle to figure out. You know, Nico, it's going to be hard for him to figure out. And I think Michael is going to – or Michelle, sorry.
Yeah, it's Michelle.
Michelle is going to have more of an output and, you know, land the better shots and more explosive shots and win the fight.
I can see where you're coming from that one. Michelle Lima.
Yeah.
Got to get these names. That's me. Yeah, I like Nico Price on this one. I think he throws some wild haymakers. He stays in the fight, has extreme cardio. And I think that's what Michelle Lima is his biggest weakness, because he kind of lets it all go. So I can see it being an early finish or going for Lima, but I think it's going to go full three rounds and decision win for Nico.
I got Lima on that.
That endurance. All right, now let's move on to the main event of the prelims. We got Carlos Condit, the natural born killer, versus Max Payne Griffin, our recurring guest on Fight Picks with the Pros. Max Payne, been on four times with Chris. We've got to go with our main guy, of course, Max Griffin, both of us. But let's talk about what this fight means. One of the biggest cards of the year. He got moved to the headliner, the prelim, because they think this is you know, Max probably like to stay on the main card and do his thing. I don't know if that helps with shares and pay-per-views or whatnot if he's on the main. But he got moved down to headline the prelim, which is almost like a compliment saying, hey, we think you guys are going to be super entertaining. And the prelim main event is what gets, you know, gets a shit ton of views because a lot of people don't want to buy the fight, right? So how are you feeling about our guy Max Griffin coming in this fight with Carlos Condit?
I feel great about it. You know, Max is, you know, always evolving. He's like training with the team now, and he used to just train with another team here in Sacramento. So it's cool to kindly finally see the full Sacramento unite and train with each other, because we're only going to make each other better, and we can all bring something different to the table and grow from it. You know, but Carlos Condit's a true vet, and he's been in the mixed martial arts game for a while. I remember my friend would tell me about Carlos. Says, "Hey man, this new guy coming out of New Mexico, he's gonna be the next big thing." And then he won that this Hawaii event called like Ready Rumble or Royal something Rumble, where he beat Jake Shields that night. He beat three top dudes that night. And I was like, "Man, this Carlos Condit guy is legit." And then went on the WC champ, and you know, so it's cool to kind of see him back in the mix. I don't know if he was out for injuries or, you know, why he took a lot of that time off, but he's been around so long, so he probably needed it.
Yeah.
But Max has been on a tear, and I think he's the younger, the hungrier fighter, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing this fight.
Yeah, Carlos was, you know, he went on a 4-fight skid, and then he had that great fight against Matt Brown. He won out in Abu Dhabi, and he's looking fresh. He's into it more than ever, and says his mind's right. And then you got Max Griffin, who's coming off of, you know, the best two wins of his career. Two TKO wins. Two brutal TKO wins, you know. Ripped the guy's ear off, TKO, bloody mess, and then a clean TKO finish his last one. Two clean shots. So Max is in great shape. His mentality has never been better. He's a scary guy because he's having more fun and laughing, but he's also a killer and feeling ferocious. He wants to come in there and finish. So this new mentality of his camps and in his fights, I couldn't be more excited for Max. I'm always, you know, when I get to know these guys close, I'm going to be stressful. It's going to be stressful when this fight comes on, a little anxiety. You know, I want the best for Max. But it's going to be a great fight. I see this fight being a brawl, and it's going to be a good one for the prelims. I think they know what they're doing by pulling this one up to the main event. So let's go, Max. All right, let's move on to the next one. We got Sugar Sean O'Malley versus Luis Smolka. So we know Sugar Sean, he's one of those guys that the UFC wants to build up. You know, they get accused of giving him kind of these two-to-can fights, and they want to build up his name. And he has some records for the most contender series fight views, most YouTube views from UFC for an up-and-coming guy, unranked guy. So he's definitely a marketing view machine. You know, he's got the colorful hair, all that kind of stuff. But he's fighting Luis Smolka, who is a good fighter in his own right. But again, it seems to me kind of they don't want to rush him into it. They don't want to give him rank fighters.
Yeah, but he fought Chito last, right?
No, Chito was before that.
Yeah, who he fight last?
And then last he just fought. Who got the win over?
Oh, decision. Oh, Almeida. Yeah, he won that decision over Almeida. Yeah.
No, he TKO'd him.
Did he? Yeah, TKO'd. In the third.
Remember, yeah, you remember he was on the ground. He got a big left hand shot. Yeah, you tell me. How do you feel about this matchup?
So, Luis Smolka's been looking good since he moved back up to 35. He was fighting at 25, but it was probably a big cut for him. So, moved back up, and he's fighting more at his natural weight class, and he's been looking good there. So, you know, O'Malley is always, you know, fun to watch. He's entertaining, and I think that's why he's got a huge fan base. He's different. He's got the hair. Yeah. He talks smack. He talks different, you know? Yeah. So, People like that. But, you know, Smolka's, he's no joke. Yeah. And I think he poses a couple of different skill sets that, you know, I think he can take Sean to the ground. It can be pretty even there. But, you know, I think Sean has the length and striking advantage. So if Smolka is smart, he would try to mix it up and do the full MMA game against Sean. But Sean's been looking good. Every fight, he's getting better and better. So,
yeah,
and then the UFC is trying to build him up. They're not gonna, after the Chito fight, they're like, all right, bro, we're gonna give you a couple lower level guys, and you know, keep the steam rolling. And I wouldn't mind that either if I was him.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe you can't. You know, he's collecting paychecks. He's building his name. And Luis Molca, for him, he's probably the biggest underdog, one of the biggest underdogs on the card. And you know Sean O'Malley wants to stand and strike and feint and throw those shots, right? The spinning stuff and stay in range. I hope, and I know they want to keep it entertaining. I want to show I can strike with them too, but I want to see a game plan where he goes in and goes right for the takedown. And he's trying to grapple with them because Sean does not look great on the ground. He's getting better and better. I know his camp is heavy at BJJ, but Luis Molca should push that and hopefully make that give him a chance to win the fight. So we'll see how it all plays out. But we know Sean O'Malley is the heavy favorite. And, yeah, he is always fun to watch. All right, let's jump up. Quickly, we'll talk about Irene Aldana versus Yana. Give me your last name.
Knutskova?
Yeah, so Knutskaya. Oh, yeah, we said that before. So Yana, she always brings a fight. She's fun to watch. I'm familiar with her. Not as familiar with Irene on the other side. Chris, have you seen her fight at all?
Yeah, Irene, I think she comes from Mexico, and she brings the boxing background. She looks good. She's got heavy hands.
Yeah, so this will be interesting, mixing this into the main card. I like to see Yana. I like her in her post-fight interviews. She's well-mannered, well-toned, loves the game. I know she's with the light heavyweight guy.
Thiago Santos.
Thiago Santos is his guy. I like Thiago Santos, too. And so I'm rooting for her in this fight. But as we get into the fight pick show, maybe we'll break this one down a little bit more. Chris, what are you thinking for this fight?
I got Aldana. No. I got Yana just because I like her name.
Okay, we'll go with that. Let's move on from this one. Let's jump up to Tai Tuivasa versus Greg Hardy. So this is going to be a great fight. Both guys are throwing heavy. I'll go right away and say I'm pulling for Greg Hardy on this one. I like the antics. I like how he's heavy hands and coming from the NFL. I've always rooted for him. But I love this as the third fight. I think this is going to be super entertaining. It's a fan favorite fight for sure. Ty is very entertaining on his side. He's the one that does the shoeies and drinks his beer out of his shoes.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Absolutely like disgusting, but, kills it. So what do you think about this fight? How do you see it playing out?
I just hope, you know, Greg Hardy is, making the changes to his MMA game and getting better on the ground and getting better with his conditioning. Because we've seen it before, you know, he does well in the beginning, and he starts fading, and he gives up. So I'm pulling for Greg Hardy too, but Ty is going to come out hard, and he's going to keep coming. And let's see if Greg can hold his own and not fold after the first or second round if it goes later in the rounds.
Exactly, he's got about a round and a half before he becomes a one punch at a time kind of guy. Yeah, so we'll see how it plays out. I think that's a fight we'll break down, so we'll give our official picks coming up next week. Let's jump on. Second to last fight we'll review before we wrap it up. Gilbert Burns versus Stephen Thompson. So this one's flying under the radar because the main event is such a hugely hyped fight. Gilbert Burns is coming off of a loss. But Gilbert at one time was, you know, he was the hottest fighter in the welterweight division. He looked really good against Kamaru Usman before he eventually
started to get so much, man. It feels like he's fighting every couple months.
Yeah, he's extremely active, man.
He's super active.
He's active. So, you know, really, really high up there currently. Is that number two contender right now in welterweight division? Then we got Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, who's always a difficult puzzle to figure out. But I like this matchup because they both can do the kind of karate-style stance and are rangy guys. Of course, Stephen Thompson has this unreal type of range to him. But he's more of a counter-striker, and Gilbert Burns brings the fight. He's not afraid to be first. So what are your official thoughts of that fight? What do you like about it?
Both guys I like a lot. You know, Stephen Thompson, I've known about him for a long time. I was following him when he wasn't even in the UFC anymore, or in the UFC, and then now he is, and I've been following him ever since. And then Gilbert, I've known him since he hasn't been in the UFC. Like, I used to follow his jiu-jitsu career, and when he won Worlds, and he was winning all the top jiu-jitsu tournaments around when I was coming up. So I think Stephen, of course, has the striking distance. He's gonna have that kind of distance, that range, and I think it's gonna be hard to figure that out. But Gilbert's been, his striking is looking good, man. Like, him training with Henry Hooft, and he's always bringing something unique to the table. But if he's smart, I think he's gonna use his striking to try to take Stephen down. And you know, Thompson's gonna probably play that in and out game with his footwork, and man, I'm looking forward to that fight. That's gonna be a good one. If Gilbert can't take him down, I think Thompson will win a decision. But if Gilbert can get a takedown, I think it can be a short night for Thompson.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that could be the kind of the tail of the fight. Can Gilbert get him to the ground? Is Steven going to piece him up on the feet?
Yeah.
But man, I'm impressed with how Gilbert, every time I watch a fight, I feel like his striking gets better and better and better. And knowing that guys like can't shoot on him or don't want to take him down because he's such an ace on the ground. He's such a dangerous fighter. He was so close to being the welterweight champ. You know, we got Kamaru, who's just an absolute monster, is the only reason he's holding him back. So I like Gilbert Burns in this fight. I always like Stephen Thompson when he can keep the guys out of range. He's just so deadly. He can pick you apart the whole fight. You can't figure him out.
Yeah.
But I'm pulling for Gilbert to break through that barrier and figure out the puzzle and get the win. I want to see him right back in the mix. We'll break down that fight next week, full breakdown. All right, let's jump into the last breakdown of the MMA rundown before we wrap it up. We got to just briefly again talk about, you know, Chris and I have talked about this about 20 times in the last 2 months.
Seems like it.
But we'll talk about it one more time and one more before the fight. Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor. And I always try to throw in something new as everything comes out. It's a new thing to think about. And the one new thing I'm seeing here is Dustin's not allowing any of, I mean, Conor's not allowing any of his family members to attend the fight. No kids, no wife, no parents. That usually, and the parents attend all his fights.
He's taking it serious.
There's no, you know, before he was saying stuff like, I respect us in this fight. I wish the best for him. He's, you know, great last fight. He was just this nice guy mentality. Now he has nothing nice to say about Dustin. Last week he called him a dusty bitch because he's going to try to shoot for my legs. And so he flipped the script. He even said the old Conor's back. So I think this is, it's going to be good entertainment. He's going to be talking massive shit at the press conference. He's going to bring up that $500,000 donation. He's going to bring up that Dustin wants to shoot on him. He wants to keep it standing. There's going to be no family members there, so he's going to feel like he can be himself. So what do you think about the antics this time of going from completely turning around from being Mr. Nice Guy in January out in Abu Dhabi to being like completely flipping the script? And some of it is real, and some of it I think is for show, but what are your thoughts, Chris?
I think he's going back to the old Conor. Yeah. And he's probably like, all right, that nice guy shit didn't work. So I'm going to go back to the old me where I'm talking shit. I'm calling people out. I'm trying to add some of the mental game and the psychology into fighting, yep. Trying to get under people's skin and get the emotions evolved. And we all know that Conor is a master at doing that. And I think that's a big part of, the fight game is an emotional game. You got to learn how to control your emotions. And if you can't control your emotions, you gas yourself out. You make stupid choices, under stress. So Conor knows that. And it's almost like the art of war. You know, he knows how to bring certain things out of certain people. But like we talked about before, Dustin, the true vet and fighter that he is, he doesn't play that. He's not going to let that interfere with what he's doing or what he's focused on. And I think that's the difference between, you know, Dustin and a lot of other people is Dustin's not letting all that get to him.
Yeah, and a great quote by Dustin, he said, not a quote, but he told the media that first fight he felt partially defeated before he even stepped in the octagon. That's because the shit talk piled up. He said, I've never...
Mindset is everything, man.
His famous quote was, I never disliked someone so much ever in my career. Yeah. And that's, he got all this hatred for him. You know, he's overloading on his punches, getting in there for a brawl, and that opened up Conor to write KO in that first match. The second match, Conor played Mr. Nice Guy, and we all saw Dustin came in there and TKO'd Conor. Now, Conor's back to the bad guy mentality, like they were their first fight. But the problem is, Dustin's matured. That first fight was 2015. He's ready for the antics.
Yeah.
And he just TKO'd you 6 months ago.
Yeah.
How much shit can you really talk? But this is Conor McGregor. He's going to pull it out from everywhere. It's going to be super entertaining. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be funny. But if I'm Dustin sitting over there knowing 6 months ago you got a nasty TKO win, you're getting the payday, he's got to be feeling good coming into this fight. So I think it's going to be a calm, collected Dustin. But It'll be entertaining to see what Connor's gonna throw at him.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so we'll wrap it up there. Thanks, everyone, for watching the MMA Rundown brought to you by FanDuel. We'll have our next show, Fight Pick Show, coming out next week. Make sure you guys all tune in and watch. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Like and subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. We'll see you next time.
See ya.